It's just two guys slinging some bull. It's the Two Guys, One Mic Podcast.
I'm back.
On 1045theteam.com.
Get up off of that thing and dance to you, you better. Get up off of that thing and dance to you. Sing it now.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Two Guys, One Mic Podcast. Joe Bianchino and Pierce Bricks hanging out with you for about the next hour or so. And that is... I am way too, way too excited right now. I should be mourning. Bricks,
you should be mourning. I'm not even.
I don't. I came strong.
Quite understand what's going on.
I came strong to the mic to start this podcast.
Well, that's,
and I'm not. I don't know how.
It's because you're a professional, Joby. You got to take it from the. You can't just start the show like weeping and talking about how we're not going to see David Wilson until 2013.
Oh man, that was bad.
Was he crying? By the way.
I didn't see him crying.
I think I saw him literally crying. When they came back from commercial break, they showed him on the sideline being consoled.
And I saw the consoling.
He had
I didn't
cry
see the
face.
Crying.
I don't know.
He had cry face.
I didn't spot a tear. He was sweaty. It's kind of tough to tell the difference between sweat drops and tears, but he definitely had cry face on. And that's kind of an embarrassment.
It's an embarrassment, but I can only if there's one thing you don't want to do as a New York Giant, it's fumble the football.
Yeah, you're not getting back on the field. Listen,
and David Wilson fumbles, does he fumble on like one of his first carries in the NFL, trying to make an impression at home, Super Bowl. He fumbled like in the red zone, too. Like it wasn't like
he fumbled on the precipice of the red zone.
Right.
And, the Giants were mounting, that really changed the game. The Giants' defense was stifling in the first half. That was a great drive. We were setting the trend. This is our house. Just go home and, press the reset button, Dallas, and then he fumbles the ball.
He fumbles the ball, it ruined what was really the only decent drive the Giants put together the entire first half, and I would really probably say
the Giants dominated. It actually reminded me of the Super Bowl where the Giants dominated the first half and somehow they weren't winning at halftime. And yeah. As a Giant fan, you felt, you're like, all right, well, we're winning this game, and you mm-hmm. keep having to remind yourself, no, actually, we're down 7-3. Because the New York Giants don't know how to play, they don't know how to defend the 2-minute drill.
I think something more than just not being able to defend the 2-minute drill reared its ugly head again last night, and that's that the Giants don't know how to defend the pass. Period. Ever.
Okay. Well, there's a problem.
How many different times, Bricks, can you get burned by a quick slant before you realize, they're going to try a quick slant?
They're not going to try it. They didn't once try it. They succeeded every single time they attempted
point.
It. I mean, it was embarrassing. Listen, they exposed
it. It was all last year, too.
You're down to Co, which is a bummer, which is unfortunate. And then he goes down, and you got to try on, which, keep trying, buddy.
Oh, yeah, you like that?
It's two guys, one mic. They were down. You have to understand that they were beat up there. The Cowboys obviously went to expose. You move a linebacker. Have him either put him in at cornerback, which worked successfully at the end of last season, or at least essentially have him spy whoever.
Paging Deion Grant.
What, do you want to get him at the retirement home?
It worked last. Look,
it worked to a degree.
This is the problem. I understand the injuries. I do. I understand that. But there's a philosophical, there's a mental thing here. What are the Giants the best in the league at defensively?
Allegedly rushing the passer.
Rushing the passer. Okay. So wouldn't it stand to reason that the quarterback isn't going to try and sit back in a 5-step drop? If they're going to pass the ball, they're going to try and get out of their hands quick. Okay. What is the route? That other than a bubble screen,
okay,
which you're not
going to
see
getting
that
to the, yes, it was
right.
a slant.
It's a quick slant.
I knew they were throwing slants. You knew it. I would imagine Perry Fuel had an idea. He didn't.
Well,
he made no adjustments.
Why are the Giants given 7 yards of cushion every pass play?
Exactly.
It's 3rd and 4. There's 7 yards of cushion. What are you doing?
And there were a couple plays where Keith Rivers, who by the way looked pretty good.
I thought the linebacking core in general looked very good.
They were
good
the
last
best
night.
Defensive
they were
unit
the best,
on the team.
I think they were the best unit,
yeah.
Period, last night. I thought they played, other than Weatherford, who
and
again.
Eli had a good game.
MVP.
Eli played well. Missed that one pass to Hickson late in the game, but made up for it. We ended up scoring on that drive shortly after. I thought, but Rivers exposed, he was a little bit, obviously you could tell he hadn't played in a while. He exposed some of his blitzes on hard counts. But even when the Giants were blitzing, if you know your guys are blitzing, bump their receivers at the line because he's getting the ball out quickly. I mean, there were too many times. They were just giving too much. They were too concerned about the big play that Tony Romo could just dink and dunk his way down the field with quick slants, which, by the way, were not 5-yard quick slants. They're turning into 12-15-yard gains almost every time because Dez Bryant, as much as I think he's aloof and he's a head case, he's not necessarily as hyped as everybody thinks he is. He's a solid player when he gets the ball.
But you know what? As much as we talk about the injuries and things, like Corey Webster got burned a couple different times last night on, you know, stop and goes, deep balls. Yeah. It was a back-breaking, like 40-50-yard completion of Dez Bryant down the sideline where he just left Corey Webster in his wake. And
Corey's web is still under construction. He has he has some silk to weave there, but it'll eventually come around. And
I'm afraid. I'm very doom and gloom with the Giants. I'm a very pessimistic Giant fan, as anyone who reads my stuff on 1045theteam.com will know. But I looked at that last night and said, "Man, this secondary is awful again.
They're terrible.
It's not getting better."
They really did nothing to address it in the offseason except sign Terrell Thomas and let Aaron Ross go, which was taking the flyer on the wrong guy. At the time, I'm not going to bash Reese. At the time, I liked the decision. Then again, I liked the decision under the assumption that they worked out Thomas.
Right. Aaron Ross is not making this secondary any better than they
are. Oh, come on, dude. That's you're hating for hate's sake.
He was on the team last year when they were just as awful.
Aaron Ross had stepped up in the postseason last year. Aaron Ross,
a lot of guys
stepped
up in the postseason last season, including, you know, I don't know, OCU Mignora.
We're trying to build the bridge, as Tom would say.
Oh my God.
Another issue, probably, to be honest, the biggest issue of the game, aside from the lack of secondary, and I've said this since last season, so I'm going to give myself full credit for this. While everybody and their mom was jumping on the Victor Cruz train, and rightfully so, he has great playmaking ability, I said throughout the season that if you're trying to replace Steve Smith, which we've been trying to replace the void of Steve Smith for a couple seasons now, with Victor Cruz, it's not going to work because he drops balls. He's not a good possession receiver. And he dropped some wide open series-killing drives. Three of them, to be specific. He was pass interfered with on the goal line. That's neither here nor there. The guy needs to secure the ball. If that means one of your 80-yard runs turns into just a 10-yard gain, that's fine because we need that 10 yards more than we need the 80 at that point. It was embarrassing. He had one.
You're
there
right.
was nobody within 10 yards
Cruz
of him.
He's
not a possession receiver.
I think, you know, I don't want to say, the word diva gets tossed around a lot, and people have talked about Victor Cruz becoming a diva. He's gotten a lot of advertising. Yeah, I don't want to go that far, but I think he needs to understand that he has to be that possession receiver. There is nobody on the team who can do that. Victor Cruz is tailor-made to do it, and he's just got to, you know, pay attention long enough and catch the ball. Nix has to be that 15-yard and in guy. That's what he does. Hickson's going to be the deep threat. You have to have Cruz be that slot possession guy. He's got to develop into that role.
You would like to see Hickson sit, you know, be able to sit down in the cushion a little bit more than he did. He made one great play. Other than that, he was relatively irrelevant.
How many times is Eli getting away with those types of throws? It's uncanny.
Listen, he dropped it right over the guy, right into the bread pass. It was a great throw.
That's just one of those where, like, it's in the air. I'm going, oh, why did you do that?
Okay,
all right, that worked out. That worked out. Okay. Fair play to you, Eli.
Victor Cruz needs to understand. I've been saying he's a diva. More accurately, he's getting a bigger head. He's got the superstar tag.
Yeah, most people wait until, you know, Their stay at the top of the mountain can be measured in more than like weeks before they write their autobiography.
Right, exactly. Maybe, you know, you wait until you're retired and you have some free time on your hands. He's spitting out autobiographies when the guy has played 16 successful games in the NFL. He's a good player. He's a work in progress.
No, he's a great player.
He's not a great player. Catch those balls.
He's a great player.
He is a dynamic talent. He is not a great player. He is the second best wide receiver on this team.
Well, yeah, but that's because the Giants have two great wide receivers in that game.
Yes,
he did not lose the Giants the game.
He was a contributing factor.
But let's be honest, the secondary lost that game.
Listen, you want to talk about great players? You want to throw around great? Jerry Rice isn't dropping any of those balls. Steve Smith isn't dropping any of those balls. Victor Cruz drops balls. He did it all last season. This is not an aberration. I'm not jumping on the guy who had an off day. He has dynamic playmaking ability, but he needs to focus more. A lack of focus is unacceptable from a quote-unquote great player. Martellus Bennett dropped the ball. He killed a drive. It was a bit of a duck, but it hit him right in the hands. I'll give Martellus
a bit. That was a great touchdown grab by him.
It was a fantastic touchdown.
That was a great catch by him. And let me point out, Martellus Bennett, currently the top tight end in the league.
It's true. Listen,
we're on our way.
4 for 40. He was targeted 6 times. He looked good. He absolutely looked good.
He did. Look, and I think I can't speak for you, Bricks, but I know I went to bed last night very down, very pessimistic, and I think the bitter angels of the moment are shouting down the good senses that I have. Look, this is one game. This is the start of the season. It's not the end of the season. So there were some things to take from last night.
Good analysis. It's the start of the season, not the end of the season.
But no, I mean, really, it's the first game. You wanted to see him come out and play well. But it's not like that was a back-breaking loss. And they can improve off that. The problem I have looking at it is that there is a trend developing, and it's not developing. It's solidified. It's been developing for the past decade, where if the Giants aren't firmly pressed up back against the wall in the live-or-die moment, the game's going to hell.
Yeah, listen, there were two things. I was downtrodden, obviously, after the loss. This morning, I wasn't that worried about it because we were able to move the ball up and down the field. They just couldn't get the ball into the end zone. Defensively, they were dominant in the first half. They were terrible in the second half. You'd imagine they can make some adjustments there. Prince will be coming back. He's not out for an extended period of time. May not make the Tampa start, but I don't think it's supposed to be any longer than that. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, Prince really does benefit from the fact that they play. They have a week off, week and a half off. And then if he still can't go, they play a Thursday game. He's got another week and a half off.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I will say this, though.
Here's a problem.
Yeah.
Just to finish the point. Mm-hmm. My biggest concern was not in the Giants, but the fact that the Dallas Cowboys are an extremely good football team.
They are good. I mean, look.
You spend a
whole... See, I'm kind of torn on that. I think the Giants made a lot of mistakes. People today are talking about how great Mo Claiborne is. I thought he got burned substantially last night. I don't think he had that great a game. Claiborne, I know it was his first NFL game, so maybe people are saying, like, so wow, look where he can go.
His growth curve is going to be impressive. By the time we see the Cowboys again, he's going to be a whole new guy.
But I'm looking at a shoddy offensive line who took a lot of penalties last night.
They took a million penalties because they were shook. Aside from the false start penalties, Bernard got in there one time.
And Joseph, and I think Romo was the deciding factor in that game, not the offensive line. He did a great job evading pressure, taking short drops, and being beaten and beating the guy in the slant.
Which is what Tony Romo has always been able to do. Tony Romo is a very good... You win the Super Bowl as a Giants fan, you have a whole offseason to just bash the Cowboys. Talk about, oh, the Cowboys are terrible. Look at Dez Bryant, he's smacking his mom around. You guys are just imploding. Jerry Jones is a babbling fool. And then you actually get on the field, and you have to come down off your high horse, and you have to get off the hate train. And
that's brutal, by the way, coming off the high horse. That's a bad
I know.
It's a bad step.
Practically at this team, they have a significantly better running attack. Not much of a discernible difference in terms of passing and catching the ball. Mm-hmm. Their linebacking core is elite. They can get to you. They have a shoddy offensive line, allegedly, although the Giants weren't able to expose it. And they're vastly improved secondary. This team... is going to be tough to contend with in the NFC East, especially now that you're down a game on them.
That's the part that hurts. But I just think I see some of the same flaws the Cowboys had last year. I think they're going to be much better. And I think they are, as we'll talk about a little later in the show, one of about seven or eight teams in the NFC who could all go to the Super Bowl. I mean, this is a highly competitive NFC. The Cowboys are going to be right there. Giants and the Eagles, I think, are all going to battle for that spot. So losing a game to them hurts. I don't know. The loss hurts. I still have no problem making fun of Dez Bryant and Jerry Jones.
It doesn't hurt as much as a Yankee loss will hurt, and we'll get to that on the other side of the break.
We'll take a break. It's Two Guys, One Mic.